Cassie, good morning. Hope all is well today.
Good morning. How's my favorite Yankee doing?
We're doing fabulous here. Okay, you know, pissing people off, stirring the pot. You know how that goes.
I definitely know how that goes.
I mean, we're more similar than many people think, aren't we?
Oh, probably definitely on this topic.
Well, no doubt. I mean, and again, you know, thank you, by the way, for sharing your experience. And this is one of the best things about our platform. We're able to meet people like you, engage in fun conversation with a sense of humor, you know, a little, sarcasm, poking the bear, having a little fun, talking this, that, or the other. This is a more serious topic. Obviously, as someone who has experienced extreme poverty growing up and someone who, of course, has been able to buck the trend in the system and you know, get your family in a great spot for yourself, obviously living over in North Carolina. Okay? So give the folks out there just a little backstory in terms of your upbringing and your thoughts as to what you witnessed firsthand from this system that, to me, continues to just keep this snowball rolling in the wrong direction, you know, enabling people or working to keep people on the government assistance rather than working to get people off and be more contributing members positively to our society without being a burden essentially on the taxpayer.
Yeah, so I grew up in Western North Carolina in Haywood County. And when I say I grew up poor, what I mean is that there were times when I can remember praying at night, please don't let me freeze tonight. Please let me wake up in the morning. And we're talking being 6 years old and being highly aware of the fact that I was so poor that I might freeze to death in the middle of the night. Mm. There were times when there was literally no food. I can remember my daddy going hunting and bringing home squirrels and cooking them. Mm. And this isn't because we wanted to. It was because there was no other food. Mm. I mean, I'm in my 40s, and I still won't eat macaroni and cheese, the one that comes in the blue box, the Kraft macaroni and cheese. We ate that so much that the smell of it makes me nauseous. So I grew up in Goodwill clothes. I mean, I was in the, what's it called, the Big Brother, Big Sister program of America, Head Start. I mean, we're talking just as poor as you can possibly imagine. And as I grew older,
go ahead.
As I grew older, I realized that a lot of the kids that I grew up with were, I mean, even at 18 years old, I was starting to know kids who were going to prison, kids who were dying. I mean, now in my 40s, I might be one of probably 99% of the kids that I grew up with are either dead in prison or they're stuck in poverty.
When you live through that and come out on the other side, and how long did this take to develop the perspective you now have on the system?
Well, it took a while because even up until probably last year, I was telling people, you know, it's not children's fault that their parents can't get their act together. But when you look at what's actually happening in many of the families who are receiving welfare, and I'm just going to go over very quickly some of them, I grew up and saw people sell their food stamps for drugs. Let's see, I have been denied 4 food stamps when my oldest was a baby. And we're talking, I was going to school full time. I was working full time. I was creating my schedule around my daughter's feeding times. And I couldn't get help. And yet people who weren't working, weren't going to school, they were doing nothing but sitting around. I knew people who were getting help, a lot of help. More than half the people that I know are cheating the system. They have income streams that are coming in that aren't being reported. And even today, they're eating better than I am. So there's a lot of things that are going on in the system that are, they're crippling people. I mean, we need to change it or get rid of it.
In your eyes, is this a big part as to why it eventually leads to generational poverty, as you see out there? As you mentioned, you know, it's not a kid's fault into the situation that they're born into, but when their parents or whomever is helping raise those kids relies or becomes so dependent on said system, and that's sort of the way of life, and that's all you know, it becomes real difficult to see the outside world to showcase the fact that there are opportunities out there for you. Yes, I know this is a tired sort of phrase, to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Well, the truth of the matter is we learn finances from our parents, right? And so if your parents are in the system and they're cheating the system, then you learn how to do that. Our education system isn't teaching people personal finance. And when you go to get welfare, they're not teaching you personal finance. And so no matter what you do, if you have been in the system, you are 2 to 3 times more likely than your peers to stay in the system.
And again, these kids don't know any other way. This, as you said, is something that they get, as a learned behavior based on the situation that they have. Why is it, or do you think this is, done in large part, purposefully by the decision makers up in Washington, to keep this program not only intact, but make the push that we need to expand it, we need to continue to grow it, we need to help more people, essentially just create more layers of bureaucracy from the people that are in need and then those who control the purse strings up in Washington. Why is it not more localized, right, in terms of communities and food banks, churches, nonprofit groups? There are so many different philanthropic people in every community in our country. Don't you think we'd be better suited if we tried to take care of this at the local level, statewide level, rather than have the federal bureaucracy handle this?
Well, I think it sounds good, right? It's a good talking point for them. And so they can go, look at us, we're so giving. But then they want to hide the fact that they're taking money away from people who would actually donate, and they're deciding where your money goes, and they're making poor decisions with it. So, yes, I think it should be local. I mean, when I look at what happened during Hurricane Helene, and to me the government wasn't helping the way they should have been, but look at the way that America showed up.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we are some of the most charitable people all over the world, and we, oftentimes overlook, our neighbors and our own community as a whole. I mean, look at the amount of dollars that we spend, to build villages in remote areas around the world, yet, have trouble, or in many instances, I think, the government just wants to enable, these folks to not, help themselves out. And I get it, there are elderly folks out there that need assistance. There are folks who deal with some sort of disability. And there are others who, hit a tight spot or are trying to lift themselves up the way you were many years ago, who essentially are completely overlooked. I mean, the entire thing is broken. Yet the only solution, which is often the case when it comes to government, right, Cassie, is the fact that they say, hey, let's just throw more money at the problem. And, eventually we can say, hey, we're still funding this and we're expanding the funding, but it comes with little to no results in terms of the end game.
Exactly. I feel like if they wanted to change it, if they wanted to fix it, if they really wanted to help, then you wouldn't see generational poverty.
Mm. I mean, you look at literally every issue. Okay, Cassie, you're around the same age as I am. I mean, every issue facing our nation was an issue when we were born into this world and in this country, right? I mean, there's not many topics that have been solved by government in the 40 years that you and I have existed. I know our listeners out there may be older than us, so they can attest to the way government operates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like, what was the old Reagan saying? The scariest words in the world were, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And I feel like that's true. Yeah.
And again, this is, to me, it's a nonpartisan issue, right? We all, and we are doing this without casting judgment. The fact is, there is about $1 billion wasted every month on ineligible SNAP recipients, overpayments, lack of coordination and tracking payments across multiple states. Yes, many recipients do work, as Cassie mentioned, high cost of living. This is why the safety net exists. But the talk is never, how do we get these people off of the government assistance? And Cassie providing us a little perspective this morning on what it really looks like for people on the inside. Well, Cassie, I know you're extremely proud and prideful in terms of being able to accomplish some of these things. As you grew and as you were working through some of the trials and tribulations of your life, did you see that end in sight in terms of being able to, take care of yourself and do some of the things that maybe your parents were unable to do for you as a kid?
I think that there's a scary transition. because you reach this point where you're no longer eligible for help, but you're still in extreme poverty. And so I would tell anybody who reaches that point, keep going. You're going to come out on the other side of it if you keep going.
Cassie Clark with us this morning. I'd much rather be having conversations surrounding Yankee versus Dixie, but thank you so much. And next time we will have a more lighthearted conversation because I enjoy your sense of humor. But nonetheless, I mean, topic that no doubt is getting national attention. And let's bring people in on the conversation who have actually experienced this situation and have worked through their situation at hand personally to give us that firsthand look as to why, of course, the federal government and the system is completely broken, but they continue to just put Band-Aid after Band-Aid on this issue. WhereTheDogwoodBlooms.com is where you can find Cassie's work, and, of course, you can follow her, a fun follow, on social media as well. Cassie, thanks, as always, for the time.
Thanks, Jeff.